wondering.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, this week we're going to bring you segments recorded on the floor and at the Command Zone Gathering at GP Las Vegas. A lot of people are wondering what GP Vegas was actually like, and so this episode is a series of short clips that just establish the tone. Even though Sean had to stay home, Nate and I managed to get there. We had a great time. For us, the highlight was the Command Zone Gathering. The main event itself wasn't as spectacular as watching 80 to 100 people playing Commander all at the same time. Especially for that, thanks to Josh and Jimmy from the Command Zone for hosting that really cool event. The first couple of segments you'll hear were recorded at the gathering, as they called it. We took the time to interview a couple of our listeners. I want to let you know, because we were recording right on the floor and on the tables at the Command Zone party, the audio quality is going to be a little bit different. It's not a nice clean recording. It's from a microphone that was placed on the table in front of everybody. And so you'll hear a lot of crowd noise. You might hear some clicks and taps and bumps that you don't ordinarily hear in our podcast. We think you'll enjoy it anyway. So without further ado, I'll start this segment. We're recording live at the Command Zone podcast gathering. There's got to be 80 people here. I don't know. Maybe I'm overcounting. What do you think, Mark? And this is Mark.
I'm Mark Gravel from Montreal, and I'm happy to be here at Josh and Jimmy's event in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people? Probably 80 now in this room.
Yeah.
All right. Josh, with the honor. No, you got it. I got you.
Six.
Make it happen. First winner tonight is...
Yeah, easily 80. And so he's first winner.
Chris Danford.
Woo! Chris Danford. Woohoo! Up, oh, there he is.
You're not allowed to win anymore!
I love these guys.
Yeah. When they did Draft Conspiracy and they mixed it up with another set.
That's
these guys
cool,
or you guys?
No, they did that. Yeah.
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 And I think they're doing a conspiracy in Dragons of Tarkir draft tonight.
Probably. So.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, well.
As you're playing today, just pay attention to the decks you're playing against, because we're going to have a little vote on who's got the most unique deck that you see. That also means next game, pull out your most unique deck.
Only brought one.
Uh-oh. What would I play? Oh, I'd play Ashling in 83 Mountains.
Ashling, nice. That killed me in the Porphyros deck last time, yeah.
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 Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Right? So what's the meanest deck in your playgroup?
Oh, meanest deck in my playgroup?
Oh, this guy, right?
It's his Reaper King deck.
Reaper King?
He plays a Reaper King deck. It is brutal. He's even kicked a Rite of Replication on his Reaper King.
Okay.
To just bring 20 plus, 20 scarecrows into play destroy 20 permanents.
It brings 5 scarecrows into play, but they all see each other.
Yeah.
So. Right. So it destroys 20 permanents. Sorry, I got that wrong. But yeah, it's brutal. And when he did that, he just wiped the board, just took it all away. That's the meanest deck, I'd say.
I had to destroy one of my things, too.
Yeah. I ran out of things. Nate, this is Mark.
Hi. I listen to your show also. These guys, too. You have the 5 commander in now. I just love the commander. I used to play other formats, but now...
I know, right?
Commander only.
It's basically drafting and commander.
I know.
That's it. And I buy the intro decks for some of the sets.
Okay.
And then I play the intro decks, like the ones for Fate or Forge. Great fun.
Okay.
If you want five, if you're not playing with new players,
yeah.
Right, but new-ish players who have like 10 games in,
okay.
Use those intro decks and just put them down in front of them and explain. This one is the prowess deck, cast non-creature stuff.
Okay.
This one is the delve deck. Kill things and then evaporate your graveyard to bring out the, right? And go. And it's amazing. And if you want a really friendly experience, you do it against the Hydra or the Horde or the God, and then it's really good. Oh, it's wonderful.
Hydra, yeah. We bought it, but we never played.
Oh, try.
Oh, yeah?
Seriously.
Right. I've seen a deck that I like was posted on Star City, Sheldon Miniman.
Yeah.
The Nevermore. He exiles like everything, right?
Oh, brutal.
It's like a... He explained the list, but when I saw Static Orb in there...
Hang on just a second.
Anything, yeah.
Are we short? Are we going to have to give up the table now?
Oh.
Probably. There's a little more crutches we need to.
All right.
I'm
going to
put this on pause. At this point, I have to apologize to Mark because we got distracted and couldn't finish the interview. You see, a bunch more people had come in, raising the attendance at the command zone gathering to well over 80, and we had to give up our table. Our next segment was recorded while in line for the draft a few minutes later. We talked to Peyton Burris.
All right, this is Phil DeLuca from the command zone gathering of magic. And I'm here, I'm at the end of the line for the draft. Josh and Jimmy just called, and I'm standing next to Raiden, right? No, Peyton.
Hey.
Right, hey Peyton. And you were playing the Zergo deck.
I was, yeah.
With 14 rats, and you couldn't pull a single rat.
And I could not pull a single rat. Actually, I figured out part of my problem.
Yeah.
I recently pulled it apart to tool some stuff, and I forgot to put a few in. So I was missing, of course, the most important Wrath of God itself.
Yeah.
So that was part of my problem. But we'll just have to figure out what went wrong.
Excellent. You, I think you mentioned you were a Five Commanders listener.
Yeah, I listened to a few of the first episodes, and then y'all kind of just stopped it at that point.
Oh.
And so I was waiting to see what y'all were going to come out with next to catch up with that.
Yeah.
So I caught the first few episodes, and just really liked like the all of the different interaction and just talking about a lot of different deck types and stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, take a listen to Commander. And Nate is also a musician. He's done our music.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
We laugh a lot. The first episode, we're kind of nervous, but we laugh a lot.
So. Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah. And we're going to send this to our other compatriot who couldn't be here, Sean.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Just to tease him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, I've been posting pictures on Facebook. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a convention unto itself.
It really is. There's a lot of people here. I knew a lot of people were fans of Commander. But
at this point, we were interrupted and the audio became unusable. That's really unfortunate because Peyton had an excellent Zergo deck and I was hoping to get a few tips from him. Maybe next time, maybe on Twitter. Toward the end of the line, it looked as if we were going to have to fire off a commander pod instead of a draft pod. That wouldn't be bad, but it wasn't what we were expecting.
We got one more for you guys, because you're at 7. One more draft for the head of eight.
I guess we're draft.
Yeah,
turn
7. All right, here we go.
All in the flat.
2.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. 3.
You got alt. That just means you all team up and kill
him first. This is Jimmy and Josh.
This is us.
The draft featured one pack of Dragons of Tarkir or Fate Reforged, and...
So it's two packs of Conspiracy?
Yep.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah. Spice it up. We were going to do 4 packs, but we got way more people than we thought. We were like, oh, there's 90 people instead of 40.
That's awesome.
That's how it works.
Follow these guys.
Where are you in?
What's the first pack?
Good luck. Follow these guys.
This next segment has some audio issues, but it's absolutely worth listening to. We spend almost half an hour talking to listener Andre Treiber. He's funny, he's got a great deck, and he knows how to keep his cool under pressure. Take a listen.
Ooh, do you want to do that?
Here we go.
Oh, they got two.
All right. Nate and Phil are talking with Andre.
My name's Andre. I'm from Austin, Texas.
And you escaped the flood then.
Oh, yeah. I managed to get out of biblical levels of flooding and fly right into the heart of the desert.
That was amazing.
It was good for our lake, but I was ready to have, like, dry socks for a day at least.
Yeah. Lake Stevens is actually a spike, but is it permanent gain or is it going to flow out?
Well, our lake, like, recovered. We've been in, like, 5 years of drought, and it was under half full. Now it's over 2/3 full, so, you know, take that what you will.
Hey, you've just backed up 2 years.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, so here we are. We're at the Command Zone event. People all around us are playing Commander and actually finishing a draft right now, right? We just did this crazy, crazy Dragons of Tarkir and 2 Conspiracy Pack draft. It was awesome. Nate and I lost. How'd you do?
I actually didn't end up drafting. I was one of the few tables that didn't draft, but I did end up getting a game with, like, Jimmy... Let's see, Corbin with Brainstorm Brewery was in the middle of that game. Josh was there, but he died very quickly, so he hardly counts as being in the game. But, you know,
what
still pretty
playing?
Good table. He was on Child of Alara,
oh,
and it never hit the table, so that kind of says how his game went.
Well, you gotta kill it fast.
Yeah.
You gotta kill him fast.
The whole table ended up Grey Merchant of Asphodeld for about, like, 35 total. So that... A mono-black player named Mike, who ended up being my secret teammate, because we did some secret teams variant, And unbeknownst to him, he drained the life out of me.
Oops.
For 35. Yeah.
Well, you know, eggs and omelets.
Yeah, win some, lose some.
Yeah.
Gray Merchant's another guy you can cast Kick Right of Replication on.
Oh, that's horrible.
Even if it's not your Gray Merchant.
Right, who cares? Wow. Because it's two, then four, then six.
Well, they all enter at the same time.
They all enter at the same time, so you have 10
50.
Devotion.
Oh, so it's 50. It's five triggers of 10 devotion. That's
everyone.
That's the game, by the way, for those keeping the math.
Don't do that.
So, yeah, we got to talk about Rite of Replication at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a segment we call the Watch List.
I can only guess what that's about.
Yeah, yeah. It should be about Prophet of Krufix, but that's only one of the cards.
It could be the highlight at the top of the list, though. Let's all be honest.
Yeah, we didn't actually do Prophet first. We did Bribery just because it was fun.
We developed some sort of electronic interference here. I asked Andre to name his favorite commander.
So, I was thinking, you know, what's my favorite commander? And I was, if there were, like, any fun ones, but there's really just been, like, one commander that through time I've rebuilt time and time again, and it's just Progenitus, because the color pie doesn't hold me down. I gotta build whatever the deck idea is, I'll take from every color. And it just always comes back to Progenitus.
You can't tell me what I do.
Yeah, I don't abide by any rules.
Yeah, I ain't got no rules.
Wow. Yeah. What kind of mana base do you have for that?
It varies deck to deck. Like, this current Progenitus is really, like, borderline four colors with red barely being in there, so it's really based around blue, so it's a bunch of, like, blue shock lands and blue fetch lands and blue tri lands and blue temples, and it's really like four color blue. But sometimes, you know, you just have to run the 10 fetches, 10 shocks, 10 tri lands. It's, you know, deck to deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so, what's the main shtick? What's the main goal?
So, this current Progenitus is interesting. It's almost like a kind of Nekusar style, everyone draw cards X.
Yes.
Kind of drawing out, milling out style things, but it gets to dip into all the other colors to get some cool things. Like, yeah, it gets all the good green ramp, gets just a bunch of good white removal with it as well. Not that black and red were particularly hurting. It just shores up a bunch of weaknesses that it had.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So do you basically use all of the ways to cause pain while drawing cards or discarding them?
I don't get quite as painful, because that puts a target straight on your head. Uh-huh. When you have a Howling Mine out, people let that happen. When you have a Nekusar out, then if he's not dying, you're taking, you know, loads of damage. So I prefer to try to overload things, and it's almost like a combo finish and just, like, trying to get a bunch of cards drawn near the end and then saving myself with, like, an Eldrazi just right at the end. So I'm not the one decked and everyone else is.
Wow. Saving yourself with an Eldrazi.
You got to do it somehow.
Which one?
Right now I've got Kozilek. I'm all about drawing cards.
Wow.
Yeah. Kozilek. Yeah, that's my guy.
You ever have anybody use a bribery on you?
I have not been briberied by people that don't know he's in there. Because the deck actually runs so few creatures. In that last game, the only creature that I was just talking about, the only creature I resolved the entire game was a single Solemn Simulacrum. That was the only creature I ended up resolving before dying. Yeah, so a lot of people, they'll see a board like that, or they'll maybe see, like, a value Snapcaster, and they're like, that's not the bribery target. I'm going to go after this green deck. And so then people begin, they're like, oh, I saw that Kozilek last game. I know where I'm going.
Yeah. I'm going for you. Is that why you stick with Progenitus as the commander but then shift everything out?
Yeah, so the other thing is Progenitus in this style deck actually gets, like, a cute little mini interaction with his shuffle claws. That can actually sometimes help, like, if I'm, like, all right, making everyone mill, you know, 35 cards, I can actually keep myself alive by somehow getting my Progenitus into the graveyard. So that's a cute little interaction that has probably never mattered before for me.
What would you say are the top, what, three? Let's say three cards.
Top three.
Besides Progenitus.
Yeah, let's see. Top three cards in that deck. All right, let me think about this.
Now, you, like me, use all the same color sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have been using pink Dragon Shield sleeves for quite some time.
Yeah.
They litter the apartment, although I have had to keep them all into a single room and now, like, all in a single drawer. But I don't even know how much money I've spent on pink Dragon Shields.
I know, it's kind of sick, isn't it?
I got a couple boxes of them.
Do you at least buy them wholesale?
I buy them in bulk when I can, like with an LGS. Okay. So card number one that's my favorite is Mindcrank, which is from New Phyrexia. A lot of people don't see it, but it's an artifact that makes people mill cards equal to their life loss. And it is it's super sweet because you can just lay that down nonchalantly. It doesn't make you a particularly big target.
There's a few things that have infinite.
There are infinite combos. I have one in here, but I try to strive for that social contract and not like tutor it up all the time.
So Mindcrank is an colorless artifact. It's 2 mana. Whenever an opponent loses life, that player puts that many cards from the top of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Damage dealt by sources without infect causes loss of life. And of course, it's important to note, just in this instance for no other reason, this has a Phyrexian watermark.
All right.
It's a good card. It's just a Phyrexian watermark.
Yeah, for sure. All right, card number two that I'm going to give an award to is going to be Anvil of Boggarden, which everyone always has to pick up. So this is from Visions, and it's an artifact that costs 2, and it's everyone has no maximum hand size. And then during each player's draw phase, they draw an additional card and then have to discard a card. So that does a couple things. First of all, it's just one of the many Howling Mind variants that I play.
Yeah.
But it can help stock people up with a bunch of cards in hand because there's no maximum hand size. And that begins to matter with the third card that I'm going to mention, which is a Dreamborn Muse, which is a 2-2 for 2 blue-blue creature spirit that's at the beginning of each player's upkeep. They put the top X cards of their library into their graveyard, where X is the number of cards they have in their hand. And so sometimes everyone's just enjoying their Howling Minds. They're like, oh yeah, thanks man, thanks for drawing some cards. Slam a Dreamborn Muse, fill everyone's hands up with something like a Wheel of Fortune or a Minds Aglow, which is the Join Forces draw card, and then all of a sudden just chunks are coming off that library. Yeah. That happens. And sometimes, you know, you might encounter some other people out there with things like Eldrazi, so you have stuff like Leyline of the Void, just shut them down. Yeah.
Do you play Anafinza in that?
There's no Anafinza in here. And in fact, I might have cut the Leyline because I was just like, eh, whatever, I'll never see Eldrazi. No one ever runs those.
No one runs Eldrazi. Because after all, they become bribery targets.
it's a self-solving problem.
Unless you have all of them.
You can't
bribery all of them.
Yeah, that's a nightmare when you look through someone's deck and you see that they've got more Eldrazi than you can get rid of. That's when you wish you were still running Jester's Cap.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Wow. Now, so this is clearly your favorite deck. You have another one?
This is definitely like my pet deck. When we were told to bust out the most unique decks we have on us,
that's
what I had. The other deck that I'm really enjoying playing right now, not that guy, is Nin the Pain Artist, but really it's blue-red artifacts because Wizards needs to give us a blue-red artifact commander.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to run Niv-Mizzet because I know people would see him and be like, infinite combos and kill that guy. And so I just decided Nin the Pain Artist because it would help me cycle away and draw some cards whenever I finally ran out of steam.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yep.
And now I saw... Oh, you know what? It was... Andrew Magrini, who had the other name, the Pain Artist,
right.
He has it in a special leather deck box.
Sweet.
Again, what's the focus of this one?
Okay, artifacts. So this one is artifacts, and it all happened. Wizards just started printing a bunch of really cool blue and red artifact generals. Like, we had Muzio, we had Duretti.
Yeah,
we
had his preparations right.
We had, like, Kirkesh, and I just saw them. And I wanted to build all these artifact decks, and just I was like, okay, let's just put them together.
Right.
And so there it is. It's the greatest hits of blue and red artifact shenanigans, all tied together with Nin's card drawing.
And so again, what's your favorite? Your 3 favorite cards, best cards in the deck, the linchpins.
All right, my number one, I have to give that to Scrap Mastery, because that was the card that really just made. When I saw that, I was like, that got the deck building juices flowing.
Right, that was in the
2014. This deck is pretty fresh. Yeah, it's a sorcery that costs 3 red-red, and each player exiles all artifact cards from his or her graveyard, then sacrifices all artifacts they control, and then puts all the cards that they exiled onto the battlefield. So it's a living death for artifacts. And when your non-land cards are pretty much all artifacts, you can just dump 30 cards onto the table in the late game. That's far and above my favorite card in the deck.
That's sick.
But after that, I actually really just got to give honorable mentions to all of those other artifact-based general guys. Rather than, I guess, give that cop-out, I'll do at least one other specific card, which is Aetherium Horn Sorcerer.
Oh, yeah.
Who is back from one of the plane chases, I believe. He costs 4 blue and a red for a 3/6 artifact creature, which actually matters. Rarely ever did before this. And he's got Cascade. Yeah. And then he also, for 1 blue and a red, he can bounce himself back to your hand. And I love him. He's got a bunch of synergy just by being a blue and red artifact. And as artifact decks are wont to do with a ton of mana, you just can start chaining together Cascades, just build up your board. And,
yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So he's another fun guy to go off with once you've got all that artifact acceleration.
Wow, that's excellent. But if one person, if someone were to counter one spell, it's the Scrap Monster.
Oh yeah, which is exactly what happened to me tonight. I needed it to live, and the blue player tapped out. But we know that doesn't matter when they have Pact of Negation. Yeah. So I.
Who was the blue player who did that to you?
Oh, I don't remember his name. I just met him tonight, and it was in just one of the couple of pickup games I played.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So your top three commander cards.
Just top three.
Just in general.
Top three commander cards. All right. And
then Nate's going to have to answer.
Okay, top three commander cards. Cards I really like.
Just buy them. Cards by themselves?
Just cards by themselves. When you think about it, it's an absolute staple for commander. And you can't use Soul Ring.
Yeah. Oh, so top three cards, like, for the format, not necessarily, like, top three favorite cards, like, stuff
right,
like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what cards are basically auto-includes in your decks? Besides Soul Ring.
Yeah, besides Sol Ring, I think pretty much every deck can benefit from Solemn Simulacrum now. It's just, I don't know anyone that'll disagree with that. That might be like the second auto include right after Sol Ring, but it does everything decks need. It sets you up for the late game, just provides a little bit of value. Past that, I think any deck that has at least a couple basic lands should now be playing Burnished Heart. It's acceleration for all the non-green, I guess any non-green deck. I throw it in all my non-green decks now. It's explosive vegetation, but
nice
it can be in
you.
Anyone.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah.
That it came through.
Nice meeting you. Mark, welcome to your show.
Cool. I'll see you around this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. It was Mark. He's also on here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, good times. And then a third one would just... I would have to say one of the colorless removal spells or like board wipes, so like Nevaniral's Disc or All Is Dust. Just any one of those, every deck should just have an out, whether you're a monocolor deck that needs to protect yourself from something like Iona, or just a red green deck that might not have the best removal against hordes of creatures. Just I think having a way to just reset, even if you're normally the deck that's flooding the board, is just very powerful, and you should always have that in your back pocket.
Do you have a way to untap Nev's Disc when it comes out, or is that secondary to just having Nev's Disc?
Well, so funny enough, in this artifact deck, I'm trying to avoid wiping the board with Nev's Disc, so it has All Is Dust, so that my stuff is dead, or my stuff isn't dead. So the one deck that would be able to untap it and pop it immediately is not using it, but... Yeah, the other decks just run it out there, and like my more controlish decks, if I have the ability, I'll wait to be able to protect it.
Yeah.
Before running it out there.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's strange. I don't run Nev's Disc at all, and I don't own All Is Dust yet.
Yeah.
That will change this weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
you should definitely be picking up an All Is Dust. Nev's Disc, All Is Dust, Perilous Vault, all those.
Excellent. Yeah, Perilous Vault. That's
that was the one I was blanking on earlier.
Yeah, I was trying to remember it. Same too. Good call. So yours?
Might sound boring, but every green deck has specifically Cultivate and Kadama's Reach.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
All right. So let's count it as one.
All right.
Keep you on the hook a little longer.
Jeez.
Well, I'll trade you. Sylvan Library. I have an Italian legend silver Sylvan Library. And it pretty much goes in every green deck I build, which is to say it pretty much goes in every deck I build. And I will pause. I'll find it, swap it out. It's in Mimeoplasm. I just played that.
So you don't feel the same way about Miri's Guile?
I think the ability to pull two cards in an emergency. Makes it superior to Mary's Guile in most situations.
Okay.
If you have some way to draw extra cards and you're in green, then Mary's Guile is wonderful. Because then you can just sort it, if you, especially if you care about what's on the top of, car, top of your deck, like if you have a Courser or a Seaborn. Or a Oracle Maldian,
yeah.
Right? Pop that card into play, you're good.
So if you're playing black and blue, do you really like Limduel's Vault?
I do. Yeah, I find that playing Limduel's Vault is almost always worth whatever the life cost is incurred. And really, you're not paying any more than 20 life.
Yeah, you got me there.
And you're in black.
But he's only got 6.
No, I think the most I've paid for Limduel's Vault was 13. Oh, yeah, it was so brutal.
I really needed to find that, though.
Oh,
what were you searching for?
Oh, it was some removal, some board wipe. It was not like a, what is it, a go for the throat or anything like that. I wonder if our listeners know who Limduel's Vault is. They're probably already searching.
It's a wall of text.
Limduel's Vault. Vault. Oh my god. Limduel's Vault. Blue and black. It's an instant from alliances all the way back at the dawn of time almost. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. As many times as you choose, you may pick 1 life. Put those cards on the bottom of your library, then look at the top 5 cards of your library. Then shuffle your library and put the last cards you looked at this way on top of it in any order. So you're really looking at a group of 5 cards and saying, by gum, I need this card. And this card.
Yeah.
So,
we'll ship it for the next.
All right. I had a card. You had a card.
If we're just talking about cool cards that have cool effects, there are cards that have brought me joy, like Confusion in the Ranks.
Oh, God. Do you know it?
Yeah, that's...
It has
brought me joy. One of the good chaos enchantments out there.
I'm not going to read this.
Okay. Fine. Don't worry.
But it's horrible. It's horrible. Especially when you're spawning goblin tokens and everybody else has like angels and demons and dragons. It's
they used to have angels and demons.
Used to.
Yeah. Now they have goblins.
Now they have lots of goblins. Yeah. All right. That's cool. My second is Abundance. Because whenever you need to draw a card, if you played in the
land.
Yep. All right, last card.
Yours have all been about card drawing.
Yep, and deck manipulation. Like, I love Sensei's Divining Tongue as well.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think that needs to be in every deck.
Ah, it's so tedious, though.
I just got nasty looks from the other day.
It slows everything down.
Well, so does Mirror's Guile.
I resisted naming top earlier and went with one of the board wipe ones. I had to have some amount of creativity on my list, so I didn't just name, like, oh yeah, top 3 cards everyone plays.
See, I don't have any creativity. I just go for the top, and I make it tell me the biggest and best cards.
If I have the colors for it, I always play Merciless Eviction.
Yep.
That's
great.
It's a pretty brutal sweeper, I agree.
All right, well, we've each named 3 now. So, any parting comments?
I've got a question for y'all. Have y'all played any Limited recently, or any of the Modern Masters Limited going on?
I have not.
Not yet.
You got a chance? Okay. Because I was going to ask, what's the most EDH thing you've seen happen in Limited? And that was just going to be a transition to tell you what happened to me today, which is a board state that you'll be like, wait, that didn't happen in an EDH game?
It.
So, my opponent has a Mystic Snake. It costs 1 green, blue, and it's a 2/2 with flash that when it enters the battlefield, it counters a spell. He puts a Splinter Twin on it, which is an enchantment that's 2 red, that gives the creature tap, make a copy of it, which would lock out every spell I could cast for the rest of the game, except on my turn, I untapped and swung at him with Eldrazi, annihilating his board and finishing the game and killing him in that turn.
That's awesome.
So, if I just told that story in the dark, you would not expect that to have happened in Limited.
Right.
But that happened in a competitive REL Limited event.
That's excellent.
For GP Vegas Grinders.
Which Eldrazi?
It was actually just Ulamog's Crusher. The bottom of the totem pole Eldrazi.
Yeah.
8/8/8, but I was getting there with my Eldrazi tokens. I was spitting those guys out early. We're talking turn 7, y'all. Early.
Turn 7.
It just did some weird things from all over the place.
Oh, Limited looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to complain. My 5-color mana base came together and
someone says Splinter Twin, and then I swung in with Eldrazi. That's not limited.
Yeah, that ain't limited, but that's my plug for Modern Masters. Draft it, because you see crazy things like that happen.
Yeah, it is. It's an absolutely crazy set.
Yeah.
Do you feel the archetypes are supported well? Like, or are obvious enough so that when you're drafting and thinking of it, you can still pull what you want?
Yeah, I think it, I mean, you know, I don't know how deep you want to go into it, but I think it's a fun enough format, and, you know, not every format, I think, needs to be as wide open as, like, Innistrad was, where you could draft your dreams and anything could happen, but I've enjoyed Modern Masters Limited. It's really, it's like part nostalgia, get to play with all these old cards again, and then it's a slightly higher power level where crazy things can happen, like your Eldrazi kills your opponent with infinite counterspells. So, you know, what more do I need to do to sell the format? I mean, if that doesn't make you want to play it, like, you're not gonna. Yeah, there's awesome. No Timmy in your heart if that doesn't make you want to play Modern Masters.
You're dead inside.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thanks, Andre. This has been fun.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. It was a blast. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. And,
All right, that's our show. We have a lot more recorded from the floor of GP Las Vegas, and we're in the process of editing it. If you want to hear more from GP Las Vegas, let us know. Take the time to contact us, and especially give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That not only really helps, we'll select a few of you to win prizes and mentions. You can reach us by going to our website at www.commanderinmtg.com. Our email is cast@commanderinmtg.com. On Facebook, we're CommanderinMTG. And on Twitter, we are @CommanderinMTG. Individually, on Twitter, I'm @Ketchak. Sean is @Copain26. And Nate is @MrPlorg. Thanks for downloading and listening. We'll see you next week. Yeah!
Commander in.
Yeah!